This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 90 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. There's this thing called decision fatigue. It refers to, according to Wikipedia, the deteriorating quality of decisions made by an individual after a long session of decision-making. Basically, small daily decisions can impact the willpower that you have for actual important choices. Because of decision fatigue, you may do something like make an impulse purchase, or you might just avoid making decisions altogether. Some people who know this may do their best then to limit the dumb choices. The Wikipedia page on decision fatigue actually notes that, quote, major politicians and businessmen such as former US President Barack Obama, Steve Jobs, and Mark Zuckerberg have been known to reduce their everyday clothing down to one or two outfits in order to limit the number of decisions they make in a day. The more I've thought about decision fatigue, the more I've realized that my answers to start sit questions at the tail end of something like a Facebook Live that I do are probably going to be less thoughtful than answers that I give at the beginning of them. But because of decision fatigue, it may be best to make your start sit choices at the beginning of the day instead of the end of one too. Especially for this week. This is championship week. Hopefully these start sit picks from yours truly today helps you with your decision fatigue. Hopefully they just make the decision for you. And hopefully you're able to win a fantasy football championship as a result. But before we get into them, I wanted to let you know that this holiday season, FanDuel has partnered with the NBA to give you a free contest where you can win autographed NBA gear, NBA shop gift cards, and even five tickets to an NBA game. It's called the Christmas Jam, and you can enter for free on Christmas Day. And best of all, it features a brand new game called Starting Five. In a Starting Five contest, you pick just five players, two guards, two forwards, and one center. It'll make for some very interesting lineup choices, especially since it doesn't distinguish between point guards and shooting guards, or between small forwards and power forwards. So give it a go. Try it out for free in the Starting Five Christmas Jam contest on December 25th. For more info, visit FanDuel.com/NBA. That's FanDuel.com/NBA. So the first start at quarterback this week is Phillip Rivers, who's going to be facing the Jets. You gotta just push last week's performance from Phillip Rivers aside. It was a divisional matchup against a Chiefs defense that's actually been playing a lot better at home against opposing passers over the second half of the year than most people are giving them credit for. This week is different. He gets the Jets. The Jets rank in the bottom half of the league against the pass according to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted net expected points metric. They've also surrendered the fifth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. And according to airyards.com, they've given up the third most air yards in the entire NFL. Rivers had posted four straight QB1 performances prior to last week. I think that he bounces back in this one. If you want to dig a little bit deeper, I like Joe Flacco against Indianapolis. Flacco's averaging over 19 fantasy points per game over his last three contests, and all three of those games came against beatable secondaries. But guess what? Indianapolis is a very beatable secondary as well. The Ravens are big 13.5-point favorites in this game with a 41.5-point over-under. That gives them the fifth-best team total on this entire slate. And Indianapolis has allowed the eighth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this year, but they've really only faced one elite option all season long in Russell Wilson. Of course, this week they're going to face another elite option because it's Joe Flacco. But when adjusted for strength of opponent, NumberFire's metrics peg the Colts as the worst secondary in all of football. So with all that, combined with the fact that Flacco's been playing decently well and you should have a little bit more confidence in him, I think that he's a solid streamer this week. Two other quarterbacks that you can start, Blake Bortles, he's rolling. I love his matchup against San Francisco. And Case Keenum at Green Bay, another good play. On the opposite side of things, I think that you have to sit Jimmy Garoppolo against Jacksonville. Jimmy G has thrown a touchdown now for every 504 passing yards in his three starts for the 49ers. The NFL average is a passing touchdown for every 162 passing yards. You guys know this. Usually I would sit here on this podcast and scream, there's positive regression coming for Jimmy Garoppolo. But why would I do that whenever he's facing Jacksonville this week? Jacksonville's defense and Jacksonville's secondary is top-notch. Not only do they have NumberFire's number one ranked secondary when adjusted for strength of schedule, but Russell Wilson, fantasy football's top quarterback this year, is the only passer with a QB1 performance against the Jaguars. And it took 260-plus yard touchdowns for him to get there. That's unsustainable. I am fully on board this Jimmy Garoppolo bandwagon. I can't wait to see what Jimmy G does in that offense for years to come. But this week, you cannot start him. Another player you can't start is Derek Carr, who's facing Philadelphia. You know, on paper, this matchup isn't all that horrible for Derek Carr this week. The Eagles are coming off a game against Eli Manning, where Eli Manning was the QB2. And they're an average team in fantasy points against to the quarterback position this year. And on top of that, no team has faced a higher pass-to-run ratio than the Philadelphia Eagles. But Derek Carr looks broken, you guys. The last time he finished as a QB1 in weekly scoring was back in Week 7. And you could argue since then that he's only had one non-plus matchup during this 7-week stretch. I don't know how you can trust him in a fantasy football championship. Two other quarterbacks I wouldn't trust as well, Marcus Mariota against the Rams and Matt Ryan in a shallower league. I'm not totally in love with him. I think that he's more of a high-end QB2 at best against New Orleans. At running back this week, the first guy I want to talk about is Jay Ajayi, who's in a good spot against Oakland. Ajayi now has 27 carries over the last 2 weeks. That's great. That's a solid number. And he combined for just 29 attempts over his first 4 games as an Eagle. But I'll be honest with you guys, his rushing attempt market share in the Philadelphia Eagles backfield is still not ideal. He's still only seen 45.76% of the team's carries over this 2-game stretch. But the good news is that things are trending up. During his first 4 games with Philadelphia, that number was 22.48%. He's more than doubled that share. And like I said, he's got a good matchup this week against Oakland. The Eagles are 9-point favorites against Oakland, and Oakland's a unit that ranks as either average or below average in almost any rushing defense metric. There probably will be a positive game script for Philadelphia, which should create more rushing opportunities as well. And that should help with any market share concerns that there may be with Jay Ajayi. He's not a locked and loaded RB1 by any means, but I think that you could do a lot worse than Ajayi this week. Jerick McKinnon's another running back that I like this week who's facing Green Bay. He's coming off a big contest, and I think that both Vikings running backs are in play this week at Lambeau because the Packers are a bottom 10 defense in fantasy points allowed to the position. But I like Jerick McKinnon a little bit more, and I think that he's a little bit more interesting because Green Bay has allowed the 4th most receptions, the 6th most receiving yards, and the 2nd most receiving touchdowns to running backs this year. Jerick McKinnon is the primary pass catcher out of that backfield. And he actually saw 6 targets and found the end zone the last time that these 2 teams faced each other. So I wouldn't be shocked if he has another great outing this week. My deep play of the week is Mike Gillisley, who's facing Buffalo. I talked about this on my 15 Transactions podcast, but I'm going to reiterate it a bit. Maybe you're in a really deep league and you need some running back help this week. I don't think Mike Gillisley is a terrible dart throw. I think that there's a lot of logic in playing Mike Gillisley. Rex Burkhead is out for New England, and while Deion Lewis is definitely going to see an uptick in work, Gillisley will be mixed in some way. And most importantly, he probably will, or he should, end up seeing goal line touches for them. Since week 10, only 2 running backs have more carries within the opponent's 5-yard line than Rex Burkhead does. And Deion Lewis, despite seeing the field plenty, and he's seen plenty of volume, he only has 1 goal line look over this time. New England could easily see a positive game script against Buffalo as 12.5-point favorites, and the Bills, according to NumberFire's metrics, have the worst rush defense in the entire NFL. And the narrative is there. Mike Gillisley is facing his former team. A couple of other running backs that I don't mind, Lamar Miller, who's facing Pittsburgh, and Alex Collins against Indianapolis. On the sit side of things, I'm not really that in love with Jamal Williams, who's facing Minnesota. Williams has seen double-digit carries in each of his last 6 games, and he's been plenty fantasy relevant over this time. And it all started after Aaron Jones was injured in Week 10 against the Bears. Williams took over that backfield with 20 carries while playing 53% of Green Bay's snaps. From Weeks 11 through 13 then, Williams didn't dip below the 82% snap rate mark. But over the last 2 weeks, those rates have been just 66% and 61%. And in Week 15, Aaron Jones ended up playing 37% of Green Bay snaps, the highest rate that he's seen since his Week 10 injury. Williams' role is not trending upwards. And in Week 16, the Packers are going to face Minnesota. Minnesota has arguably the league's best rush defense. They've given up the fewest running back points in fantasy football. And not only that, Green Bay's a 9-point underdog. It's not going to be a great environment for a running back. And if anything, Aaron Jones might see the field as a pass catcher for them. I also don't like Marshawn Lynch against Philadelphia. You know, there was a 4-game stretch this year between weeks 9 and 13 where Marshawn Lynch was starting to live up to his preseason average draft position. He actually had 3 top 10 PPR performances during that span, the only 3 of his very, very average 2017 campaign. And obviously, it took touchdowns for him to get there. He had 4 touchdowns during these 3 games. The truth is, Marshawn has hit 80 yards rushing just once all season long, and he's seen more than 3 targets in just 1 game as well. He's a touchdown-dependent fantasy back. And against an Eagles defense that not only has surrendered the 2nd fewest points to running backs this year, but one that's also given up the fifth fewest rushing touchdowns at the position, I wouldn't be trusting Marshawn Lynch. A couple of other running backs that I think you can sit, Peyton Barber against Carolina. I have no idea how they're going to handle that backfield, and Orleans Darkwa against Arizona, same deal. At wide receiver this week, this might be an obvious one, but I still think that it should be said, Juju Smith-Schuster is a great play at Houston. Without Antonio Brown, the Steelers essentially have 12 targets per game up for grabs. And I think that we should expect Juju Smith-Schuster to absorb a lot of that. He played 99% of Pittsburgh snaps against the Patriots this past Sunday, while no other wide receiver on Pittsburgh even hit 60%. And Juju's going to face a Houston secondary that's given up the fifth most fantasy points and eighth most air yards to opposing wide receivers this year. Smith-Schuster is a legitimate wide receiver one candidate this week. I also really like Robert Woods against Tennessee. The Titans are outside the bottom 10 in fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position this year, but they're a better matchup than they might appear. When adjusted for strength of opponent, NumberFire's metrics has the Titans secondary as the third worst one in the NFL. On the year, they've actually allowed 9 top 12 wide receiver performances in PPR formats and 14 top 24 ones. That's one top 24 performance per game. And this past week, Woods picked up right where he left off. He saw 7 of 21 Jared Goff throws. If he keeps up that type of target share, which is a great target share, he should see plenty of volume this week because the Titans have actually faced the second most passing plays in the entire NFL this year. Mike Wallace is another player that I'm into who's facing Indianapolis. He has a target share close to 21% over the Ravens' last three games, and he's combined for 34% of Baltimore's receiving yards. He hasn't scored a touchdown, but he shouldn't have that much trouble against a bad Colts secondary. It's one that's allowed the second most fantasy points to the wide receiver position this year, and remember, Baltimore has one of the higher implied team totals of this entire slate. Two other wide receivers that I'm kind of into, Keelan Cole as a deeper play against San Francisco, and Kendall Wright, who I talked about on the 15 Transactions podcast as well, against Cleveland. On the flip side, I don't think you should be playing Robbie Anderson against the Chargers. He did end up seeing a lot of volume in his first game without Josh McCown this past week, but in a tough matchup, he still only caught 5 of 12 targets for 42 yards. And things are not going to be any easier for him this week because he's going to see Casey Hayward in the Chargers secondary, who own NumberFire's 6th best schedule-adjusted pass defense. And that ranking would be better if not for a slow start to the season. And the Chargers are also a top 10 team in fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position. The other wide receiver that I would sit this week is one that I constantly pick on, but it's T.Y. Hilton who's facing Baltimore. Now the Ravens are going to be without Jimmy Smith once again, but they looked fine in week 15 against the Browns. Browns wide receivers were held to just 81 yards receiving. Now, of course, Cleveland's quarterback situation is worse than Indianapolis's. I get it. But T.Y. Hilton still just has 3 games above wide receiver 20 in PPR formats this year. And Baltimore's given up just 7 top 20 performances all season long. Jimmy Smith or not, I don't really care. I think that it's hard to trust T.Y. Hilton once again. Two other wide receivers I would sit, Corey Davis going up against the Rams and Marquise Goodwin against that very, very good Jacksonville defense, but I wouldn't be shocked if he does see a lot of volume. At tight end this week, I love Jesse James against Houston. Just to say this again, Antonio Brown being out means that there's a lot of volume up for grabs in the Steelers offense. Players are going to benefit, and that includes Jesse James, who actually has run more routes than any other tight end in the NFL over the last 5 weeks, according to Pro Football Focus. And it's a good matchup for him too, because the Texans have surrendered the fifth most fantasy points per game to tight ends this year. I also don't really mind Eric Ebron, who's facing Cincinnati. He now has at least 4 catches in each of his last 5 games. He's averaged 5.4 receptions per contest. And over this time, only 6 NFL tight ends have a higher target share than Eric Ebron. And this week, he's going to face a Bengals defense that's given up the 10th most receptions and the 12th most receiving yards to the tight end position this year. So I think that in PPR formats especially, Eric Ebron might be able to provide some sort of floor for you. Two other tight ends I don't mind, Charles Clay against New England should see a decent amount of volume against that defense, and Jack Doyle against Baltimore. Once again, on the sit side of the tight end position, I only have one. If a tight end is seeing volume, you have to play that tight end. That's basically what it's like in fantasy football right now. My one sit is Jason Witten. Witten has seen 12 targets over the last 3 weeks. His target share over this time is outside the top 10 at the position. And Jason Witten is a very, very volume-dependent tight end. It's not like he's scoring touchdowns each week. It's not like he's Jimmy Graham. I just think that you can find higher upside plays like a Jesse James this week and not have to play someone like Jason Witten. On defense, I like the Chicago Bears facing Cleveland. The Browns offense is very bad. I don't know if you guys heard that or not. And they're that good then for opposing defenses in fantasy football. On the year, they're allowing 3.07 sacks and 1.79 interceptions per game. And that's all while scoring fewer than 15 points each contest. They are the best matchup a streaming defense can find, especially one that's at home in a decent favorite. Two other defenses that you can start: Washington, who's facing Denver, and Baltimore against Indianapolis. The sit defense of the week is the Seattle Seahawks, who will be playing at Dallas. The Seahawks defense has allowed 72 points over their last two games, and they've only gotten to opposing quarterbacks twice. They have two sacks. This is not the same Seahawks defense that we've grown to love over the last half decade. With them being on the road and 5-point underdogs against Dallas, I think that they're an easy sit. Two other defenses that you can sit: the Tennessee Titans against the Rams and the Green Bay Packers up against Minnesota. That's it though for this championship week version of Start Sit. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, please do so by going to iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher. And as always, feel free to follow me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. And if you have a question for Friday's mailbag episode, you can hit me up on there or email me at jj@numberfire.com. Like I said earlier this week, the next couple of weeks will be mailbag heavy, so the more questions that I get, the better. And just a reminder, I would love some feedback on this show. If there's something that I could do to make it better, or if there are ideas and topics that you want to see covered in the offseason, shoot me an email. And again, that email is jj@numberfire.com. Thanks everyone for listening. Good luck in your championship matchups, and I will talk to you tomorrow for the mailbag episode.